Well, that clock is going to stay in the box. And I hope that what I say doesn't give Phil indigestion as he's working on that meal there. But I am deeply grateful for this opportunity to speak this day and to share with you some of the things that I feel are important. The topic that I've been assigned is, what in the world is going on? And I expect you could come at that from a variety of different directions with a variety of different answers. But I have chosen to focus attention on one particular area as I speak of this subject, what in the world is going on. And I want to share with you, first of all, somewhat of the story of missions at ACU. And I want to speak of our ACU or ACC missions heritage. And let me say that without this story, as Phil has already indicated, I wouldn't be telling it today. You see, ACU is my mother. And it's like saying, if I had never been born, I would not be speaking to you today. Now, all of us have stories to tell. But I want to remind you, this is my story. First of all, it is a story of how in the purpose and plan of God, I got to be born. And then secondly, it's my story because I'm telling it. And so when it's your story because you're telling it, you can tell it like you want to tell it. And so that's the way I'm going to tell it today. Now let me begin with a disclaimer. First of all, and I'm serious about this, I am deeply grateful to missionaries and churches all over our great brotherhood who have sent missionaries out into all the world. We have a phenomenal fellowship and brotherhood in that regard. And I'm also grateful for the schools all over our brotherhood who are involved in training our missionaries. I'm grateful to the Sunset School of Missions, or as they're now known, the Sunset International Bible Institute. There's a saying that they have that the sun never sets on sunset. And I think there's something to that. Their students have gone out all over the world. I'm grateful to Harding University. I'm grateful to Fried Hardeman. I'm grateful to Oklahoma Christian, to Lubbock Christian, and I might just continue in numbering or mentioning these. And I do not want to leave the impression that ACU is the only source of mission activity or education. I want you to hear what I'm saying there. Because we all join hands with you all in this great mission. And we praise God for you. I want you to know that you can get to heaven through Harding or OCUSA. It is just going to take you a little longer, though. But since this is my story and I'm telling it, I'm going to tell you the story of the mission heritage at ACU, beginning from its childhood as ACC, as I have been able to see it and as I have been able to follow it. Like every family tree, and this is going to be in the form of a family tree, it is difficult to know just when to begin. We could go back to Adam, like Luke tells his story. Or we could go back to Abraham, like Matthew tells his story. Both of them meaningful, both of them powerful messages. Now, talking about Abraham, not wishing to imply that Tex Williams is Melchizedek, who knew our father Abraham, although some might think that Tex has neither beginning of days nor end of life, and that may be true, I asked Tex, which of our ancestors was responsible for so many of the ACC family becoming missionaries so soon after the Second World War? And without hesitation, he fired back at me, Brother Homer Haley. It seems as though somehow Our grandfather, Homer, taught the vision of world evangelism and passed it down to his children, like Tex and Klein and Abe and many others of you. It seems as though he had an understanding and a passion for taking the gospel message wherever it needed to go. I don't believe he ever would be defined as a missionary. But the impact of this godly man on missionaries through the generation since then has been profound and significant. And another ACC giant that I recall in this family tree, for almost every ACC missionary for the past 40 years, has been influenced by Granddad J.W. Treat. Now, Granddad Treat must surely have had some Spanish genes in him. But he was a quick learner and soon learned to speak Texese, the strange form of semi-English that's spoken here at this place. But I think we all appreciate J.W. because although I was not going to a Spanish-speaking world to do mission work, he was intensely interested in me and what I was doing and helped nurture me in that decision. Now, there are several giants in my family tree whom I would like to honor today. Now, my fear in mentioning any of them brings me to my second disclaimer. You see, I might just leave out one of my uncles or aunts or cousins or a favored member of our family and upset some of my cousins by doing this. So I apologize to you, my cousins, if I leave one of your favorite uncles out of this family tree today. But I want to remind you, this is my family, and I'm proud of my family here at Abilene Christian and the impact that they've had on my life and the life of missionaries throughout the world. I'm sure that I will leave out some whom you feel should be included. And so I apologize for this. Any oversight must be attributed just to my poor memory and my limited knowledge of my family. But I must mention some of the giants in this ACC family that have impacted my side of the family tree. And as I've mentioned, I begin with Grandfather Homer Haley on my father's side. He had so many children that it is difficult to count them all, other than to just mention that he was certainly prolific. And then Granduncle J.W. Treat on my mother's side, I cannot think of missions without thinking of J.W. and of his life. And then there is Granduncle Rule Lemons. He's on my father's side. And he had trouble in settling in any place. He just moved all over the world, speaking on radio programs and setting up lectureships and impacting people's lives. But I owe a deep debt of gratitude to Rule, because it was Rule that said to me back there in 1959, "You need to be a missionary," and set me in this path. And then we all remember Granduncle Otis Gatewood, who fell in love with a German maiden and forgot to come home again. Seemed like he stayed over there. There was something about Germany that attracted him. And how much we're indebted to Otis and the work and his ability to keep us reminded of the great task that we have. And along with Granduncle Otis is Granduncle Roy Palmer, who went with Granduncle Otis to Germany. But it was too cold for Uncle Roy there, and so he went back to South Africa where it was warmer, and that's where I got to meet him there. And I can tell you stories of meeting Roy Palmer way out there in Botswana. I mean, the dust was flying and the flies were everywhere, and he was out there in his three-piece suit with his hat. I will never forget him. And there is Uncle Klein Payden and his brothers Gerald and Harold. Now, Uncle Klein just couldn't get along with other members of his family on the Italian side. I don't remember much about them, but I understand their name had something to do with Pope. And he just couldn't get along with that Pope family over there in Italy, and almost had to take out Italian citizenship there in a Roman prison, but decided against that and came home. Somehow, Klein and Gerald and Harold and others decided that their mission in life was to convert the Italian Pope wing of their family to Christianity. And the popes and their kids took offense at this, claiming that their kinfolk from the West were still novices in this business of being Christian, and sent them home. But we're all encouraged and challenged by the stories that we've heard of Uncle Klein. And I've heard stories of some other cousins who, like Uncle Klein, like to fly Alitalia, and like the Apostle Paul, they journeyed to the Roman world to find someone there who would listen to them. And they were cousins Lynn Camp and Clyde Antoine and Rich Earnhardt and Gwen Hensley. Gwen Hensley is an interesting cousin, and I have good contact with Gwen because, you see, Gwen has since passed on to be with the Lord. But his daughter, Holly, married one of my adopted sons, Larry Conway, and they and their children are now missionaries in Kenya. And we're indebted to Gwen and his heritage that it continues now even in my country. And cousin Stanley Shipp. Can one ever forget Stanley? I doubt it. But we're indebted to Stanley for paving the way to Lausanne. And in 1967, there was cousin Gwyneth Curtis, who moved to Vienna, Austria, with others to follow into Western Europe and in succeeding years. And then in more recent years, another cousin of mine, very special cousin, Robert Reed. You see, Robert was a classmate of mine at Abilene Christian. We sat in many classes together as he studied, and I can remember his mother bringing him into the classes. Well, Robert moved, I believe it was in 1970, to Portugal. And of course has a beautiful wife that he's brought back with him and beautiful Portuguese children. And we respect Robert so much for the impact of his life, not only on those in Portugal, but those of us here that have seen him, with that determination that is characteristic of all servants of God who become missionaries. And then there was Uncle Bob Davidson, who fell under Uncle Parker Henderson's spell. And you remember Uncle Parker Henderson, he went to Thailand, but he couldn't live there for long, and so he deserted his kids there and came back to the Caribbean islands, where he lives in luxury down there in the Caribbean islands, while his kids are back over there. Just deserted them, left them over there. But Uncle Parker was like that. He just had to move on to another place. But Uncle Bob Davidson, he was just influenced by the same Parker Henderson, and he left his son over there and came back. And they tell me he's down at one of these state universities, some little campus down here in Central Texas, and he's made quite an impact down there in the lives of students, and we're proud of Uncle Bob and his work. But I'm constantly amazed at Uncle Maurice Hall, who in his journeys discovered some balm that he rubs on himself and keeps him looking so young. But perhaps it was that child bride that he married that has just kept him as active. But what impresses me with Uncle Maurice is wherever I go, he pops up there, never tired, always active, smiling, with a passion for mission. And then there is Uncle Wendell Bruhn. Now, you know, he used to be a Jewish rabbi until someone taught him about Christianity. Now, you got to watch out for Uncle Wendell, because he's just a little radical. He thinks that being a Christian, you got to go all over the world teaching people. I don't know where he got that idea from. I mean, first of all, he ups and he goes to darkest Africa. And he settles there in Nigeria among the mosquitoes. Now, no one in their sane mind is going to go to Nigeria among the mosquitoes. But I expect he was paying penance for those years as a rabbi. But even then, he thinks that you've got to spend some time in Siberia when it's cold. And then you've got to move to Papua New Guinea. He does know, however, that one must take a break now and then and go and sit on the beaches in Hawaii. So, you know, he did learn something during that. And you need to know a little about another uncle of mine, Ed Brown, and his cousin Bill Decker, who decided to go to Japan back there when I was still in my diapers. And they had to go and clean up a mess that we'd left over there in the Second World War. And I came here to ACU, and in the very first semester, I entered into a debate class, and my teacher that was teaching me debate grew in size when I learned that he was a missionary and that he was here and he had an interest in missionaries. And then there were other cousins like Bob Buchanan and Doug LaCroix and John Robinson and Charles Smith and Ken Wilkie, who began churches in the Philippines. Now, only cousin Bob is still in the Philippines, I believe. And I'm a little upset with cousin Bob, though, because he came back to Texas here for a while and then ran off with my secretary and took her back to the Philippines. And I didn't appreciate that. He just really was. He could have gone back there and left her here. But what do you expect from a guy that talks funny and comes from West Virginia? I mean, he doesn't know any better. He did have sense, however, to marry her, which was to his favor. But I must tell you just a little about my immediate family. You see, the roots of my family go back into the early years of 1920. 1922, Will and Delia Short had established a work at Cindy Mission in Africa. And as a result of that, word got back here to the United States, and a young student at ACC graduating in 1943 by the name of Eldred Eccles decided to go to Africa. He went to Africa without any support. Oh, he had a little promise to him, but they didn't know how to get it to him. And he got down here into South America, I believe it was into Argentina, and they had the German U-boats out there, and so he had to spend a little while, and so he decided while he was down there, he may as well speak to the Spanish folk down there and converted some folk down there, but he was anxious to get on over to Africa. And he ended up in Africa in 1944. One can hardly trace the history of missions in Africa without running into Eldred Eccles' footprints. You find him in Nigeria, you find him in Kenya, you find him in Uganda, in Tanzania, in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, in Swaziland, and in Botswana. All of these nations came under his influence as he became a dew breaker. Some of you might be familiar with that. In paving the way for missions, walking down the path, establishing programs, establishing schools that have become pivotal points on the mission field in the continual growth of missions. Eldred was to cast a long shadow over Southern Africa for over 50 years. And his influence is felt even now through the many students that carry on his work, and by his own daughter and son-in-law, Sherry and Clay Hart, who work in the Durban area of the province of Natal. Eldred has just recently had to return to the United States for health reasons, but Eldred wanted to die in Africa. My heart grieves that Eldred could not die and be buried in Africa. It was his lifelong wish to be part of that nation. Well, soon after Eldred Eccles, there were the Guy Caskeys and the Wayman Millers and the Leonard Grays and the Abe Lincolns and the Doyle Gillams and the Loy Mitchells. And their descendants in Southern Africa are legion. My own father, Father Tex, moved to South Africa in 1957 to begin a new family in my home country. And in 15 years, he was able to leave a family of several hundred cousins and adopted children. Many of my cousins are of the Zulu tribe. And, you know, some folk want to know, well, how come you've got some black folk in your family? And the answer is because they're my brothers, and because my father loved them and brought the gospel to them. And we have and share a common family bond with our ACC heritage through Tex. You see, our ACU family and the immediate family has produced 13 other cousins who now labor in Southern Africa because of Tex. And my own birth was fascinating. I would imagine only one person like Tex could have done it the way he did it. I mean, he came over there with Uncle Abe Lincoln. That's not the older one, it's the younger one. But he came on over there, and they boarded a cargo ship here down in New Orleans in 1957. And they hadn't sooner got out into the harbor that they found out that there were only three families on that cargo ship. The one was Tex and his family, and one of the folk in Austin said, "You better not take that little baby over there to Africa. They eat them over there." But he got on the cargo ship, and there was Abe Lincoln, and there was a third man who was a Baptist minister recently from Waco, Texas. And he had been called to be the minister for the Baptist Church in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, where I had grown up. And so our minister was coming with these two other guys. And I remember the day in which I was working up on the roof of my house, and he climbed up onto the roof, which was extremely dangerous because with feet that size, you know, that was hazardous. And he got up on the roof there, and I was sitting putting tiles on the roof, and he said to me, "Where do you go to church?" And I said, "Well, I go to the Baptist church." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because that's where my mother and father went to church." He said, "Is that a good enough reason?" I said, "Sure it is." He said, "Okay." Well, we carried on working. I got down from the roof, went back to my wife, and I said to June, I said, "You know, that guy, that missionary that's over there, he's a weird one. I mean, he came up on a..." Now, I have to tell you about that. We'd heard there was this American missionary coming. We didn't know where he came from, you know, what church he was, but we knew he was coming, and he'd bought the house next to mine. And one day this big Chevy pulls up in front there, and it had the steering wheel on the wrong side. And he got out, and then two women got out, and they were both expecting, and about four kids got out. And my father said, "Oh, they're Mormons." But I remember saying to June, that was a crazy question that he asked me. That's dumb. She said, "Well, why don't you ask him the same question?" So the next day we're up on the roof working. And I said to him, "Well, you know, what church do you go to?" And he said, "Well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ." I said, "Well, why?" Had my first Bible lesson right there on the roof. The very first study that we studied as Christians was a course, God's Eternal Purpose, written by Brother Homer Haley. And so my family comes back to its roots again. And this family, this ACU family, is a rich family. It covers the globe. I don't know of any nation on this earth that has not experienced the power of my family. And I am grateful for that family. Now, other cousins I didn't mention to you could not face the strenuous journey to Africa, and so they decided to enter the easier pastures of Brazil and South America. Now, don't get me wrong, these were great guys, but their language skills were just not up to learning the more difficult African languages. And so they chose to go down there to Brazil and learn Portuguese. Now, these cousins have been great servants, and they've always suffered under an inferiority complex in that they've never been able to manage Spanish properly, and Dan Coker has reminded them of that on many occasions. Although one of them, this guy Glenn Owens, did learn a little about the Spanish language. And these cousins were great guys. There was Howard Norton, Snorton Norton. There was Johnny Panisi and Glenn Owens and Walter Crydell and Ellis Long and Ted Stewart and Dale Brown and Glover Shipp and Don Vincent and Brian Boston. Brian was a classmate of ours as well, Robert, when we were here. And then Brian Elliott, who's been one of my students, and Jay Abels and Esteban Austin. That's Steve Austin is down there now. And there were other cousins like Jerry Hill and Dan Coker and Reese Mitchell and Tim Archer and Warren Roan and Harry Hamilton. You see, My South American cousins are far too numerous for me to mention them all and for my memory, but they are a great and wonderful family. I wish I had time today to go on and list the other family in my family tree here at Abilene Christian, cousins, sons, but time does not permit me such an extensive reminiscing. But on a more serious note, although I am deeply grateful to my other family in other schools, I am deeply grateful for my family tree at this university, this college, and the impact that it has had on world missions. Just to give you a little further detail about this, since we began degree programs here in 1971, this is purely through the missions program here, over 110 students have received master's degrees, and over 75 have received bachelor's degrees, which means that we're way over 185, close to 200 students have graduated here with training in our degree programs. But beyond that, we have certificate programs and summer seminar and missions, and Philip alluded to that. To the best of our records at this particular point, over 3,300 students have received missions training through this program, the summer seminar and missions, and our certificate program. And to the best of our knowledge, over 60% of all of the missionaries that are on the field over the last 30 years have received training through the summer seminar and missions program. And so what in the world is going on? My family, whom I love very deeply, is very active. And I believe they will continue to be active because this is a great heritage that we have. But I wish I could end this lesson on a higher, more positive note. As great as my family is, my family also tells me that there are 222 countries or nations in this world at the present time, and only 130 have heard the gospel and have churches planted, which means that there are over 90 countries where my family and my cousins and uncles in other places have not yet reached. And so, although we're proud of our heritage and we rejoice in this magnificent family that we have, we still have a lot to do. In a world population that has 5.6 plus billion people, I don't know how big that is. It is so big. But in a world population of 5.6 billion, we only have 1.875 million members throughout the world. We only have 23,567 congregations, to our knowledge, throughout the world. Now, the Southern Baptists are saying that by the turn of the year 2000, they will have over 50,000 Southern Baptist churches here in the United States. And they are planting them at the rate of approximately 6 new Baptist churches every day. Have they seen something that we haven't seen yet? At the present time, we possibly have between 900 and 1,000 missionaries throughout the world. If you take that 900 to 1,000 missionaries throughout the world and divide it by 2 to bring it to families, it's about 450 families that we have throughout the world serving as missionaries. Out of 23,000 congregations, or in the United States at least 13,000 congregations, we have 450 families. I'm proud of my family, but I mourn that my family is not seeing what it could see. And so what in the world is going on today? great things, but not enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian. I'm one of those odd characters who like family histories. I even enjoy watching other people's family videos, which is supposed to be the ultimate in boring activities, but I enjoy that. And as I sat here listening to Ian, and I reflected on people like Glenn Boyd and Wendell and Roy Palmer and Maurice Hall and others, how many stories are there in this room? The accumulated memories here, if written up, would surely be the equivalent of a World Book Encyclopedia, if not a Britannica, because so many rich memories, people like Ken Sinclair, 24 years in Asia, there has to be a lot there. And I like to hear those. And on the other hand, it gives you that dual feeling of rejoicing on the one hand, but being gigged on the other. Carry on and extend a good thing. I know there are a lot of announcements that you would like to make. We don't have the time. I'm going to indulge my Canadian bias and mention one little thing. John McMillan is here, and he is president of Western Christian. Program and a retiree in residence program. I have these sheets of information, and John, hold up your hand, stand up or whatever. This is John McMillan, and he is trying very much to get that school in the loop of our Christian schools and the World Mission workshops that we have every year in October, and I appreciate his pushing that. The only research we know indicates that missionaries, people who've done active work and who return to have contact with people, have been a very big motivating factor in causing a lot of people to become missionaries. That was true for people in my generation. I'm just hearing the Otis Gatewoods and the others who blow in and speak and make your blood run a little faster and challenge you with possibilities and make you feel guilty about staying in comfortable territory. Say, other people need to hear what you've heard. And I'm grateful for those men who were like the gadfly of Socrates, who would sting us into righteous activity. So if you know of anyone who can do that, if you're a candidate, then please see John. I'm glad you were here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the lectureship. We are indebted to Ian for what he's done and for what he said today. Let's have a brief prayer, and then we will conclude. If you need to go, you may. If you want to stay and enjoy fellowship with these wonderful people, that'll be fine. Father, hear our thanksgiving for the joy of this hour. And we thank you for the work done by people in this room who have gone to so many places far away from their native lands, but who became friends and functional citizens in other lands for the sake of the gospel. And we thank you for the people who are faithful this day because of that work, and for those who have died in Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, for this, and we pray that you will raise up additional workers for the harvest, as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And this we now do in his name. Amen. Glad to have you here today. You're good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
figure something up for me, tell me next year. Who has been on the field for a long time? Of all time.
We were just talking about you and Colonel Leo.
No, anything that who's been on the field for a long time. Yeah, ever.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.